Welcome to episode 16 of Renewing the Conversation, a series of interviews where we talk to leading industry professionals and experts about renewable energy and heating, with a focus on the home and what challenges face the industry and homeowners.
Today we welcome Julian Clark, a homeowner that installed a heat pump earlier this year. Julian tells us what prompted him to switch to an air source heat pump, how he found and selected an installer, and how the system is performing for him now.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below and please show us your support by giving us a thumbs up. Enjoy the interview.
Hi, good morning, Julian. Thank you so much for joining us today. I can see that maybe we've got a few things to discuss with regards to your heat pump.
Good morning. Yes, it's nice to meet you. It's just bloody freezing here. Oh, gosh. So I've got the coat on. These air source heat pumps, they just don't work. No, they really do. They really do. But let's talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, that's better. I was getting quite warm.
Okay, good. You recently installed a heat pump, so I'm really intrigued to know what kind of property you're in and what led you to make that decision.
Hi. So we live in a glass house, believe it or not. We bought the property new in 2001. We live in rural Worcestershire, and it was heated by oil. We're not on the gas main. We live in a small estate of 50 odd homes. Through a series of activities over the years, we've tried to improve the fabric of the building, tried to improve the retention. We used to use about 2,000 litres of oil a year. The property is about 250 square metres, so we're very lucky where we live, and about 5,500 kilowatt hours of electric a year. With a bit of judicious, turn that light out, switch that off. We got the electric usage down to about 4,500 kilowatt hours a year. We put solar PV in 2012, and that would be my absolute recommendation to anybody who's got a roof. Put solar PV in. It's the biggest return we've ever had, and it keeps paying. We got in just before the feed-in tariff ended. We then installed something called a Solic 200, which is a little electrical diverter that takes the spare electricity and heats the hot water. There's a number of different products out there. That drove our electric usage down to about 2,700 kilowatt hours a year, because we were able to, you use the electric rather than putting the dishwasher, the washing machine and the oven on all at the same time. You put one in after the other and time things, and you use the electricity you're generating. And then we triple glazed the property in 2015. Now, you might say, well, that's a bit excessive, but I'll just turn my camera around. And if that's a window, an ordinary size window, we've got 85 of those around the property on one floor. We're a bungalow. So that's why I say we live in a glass house. And we've got some glass roofs. So we've got glass roofs in the sitting room and the dining room. So triple glazing for us really had a big improvement. With those things, we got our oil usage down to about 1,200 to 1,500 litres a year. It's very difficult to measure because there's no flow rate on it like you would with a gas. We just top it up every year. Got contacted by, and I'm going to say, one of the big electric companies like EDF to say, have you thought about it's called a bivalent system, which means you keep your oil boiler and then they attach a small, I think it was going to be about 8 kilowatt air source heat pump. They suggested 80%, 70 or 80% of the time the air source heat pump would be running to heat the home. The remaining, when it got down to minus 2 or 3 centigrade or whatever, then the oil boiler would kick in. And that seemed a really good idea. So talking to EDF, I said, well, can we have a completely, can you replace the oil boiler, and we'll have if you need, say it's an 8 kilowatt system at the moment, power, can we not have a bigger one and then throw out the oil boiler completely? And they said, oh, sorry, we don't offer that as a service. So that's when I started then talking to a number of other installers, and that would be one of my top tips. Don't go to the first one. You have to get a number of quotes like you did with your beautiful property.
It sounds like one of your primary focuses as a homeowner since you bought the property. What was the year that you bought the property?
2001, February 2001.
So since 2001, and how old was the property when you bought it?
Oh, it was brand new.
Brand new. So since 2001, it seems like your focus as a homeowner has been to continuously make improvements to the efficiency of your home, whether it's been the insulation or draft proofing and all those kind of things. Some people might be watching and thinking, that sounds really great and it sounds like you've got the right idea, but how much is that costing? Are you sacrificing holidays to triple glaze your home? And so can you just talk about a little bit about, why is that such a huge priority to you? What spurred you on to think like that as a homeowner? And why is that so important to you?
Two things. Firstly, I work in the IT industry, so I have to sort of be able to justify everything that we do. And secondly, my wife was an accountant. So I have to turn up with a spreadsheet and explain everything and why we cost justify stuff. But we are lucky to have some, you know, money available to invest as well. I recognise that not maybe everybody could do this. But in a lot of cases, things like putting loft insulation in, that was only a couple of £100. And the savings would pay for themselves almost instantaneously. The justification for putting photovoltaic solar panels in, they paid for themselves in 4.5 years, and they're still paying back. We have a negative energy bill because of the payback of that. We had to replace the oil boiler because it failed previously. The air source heat pump, interestingly, we looked at a range of different options. There are different ways of funding it. The government had a scheme called Green Homes Grant up until, I think, April this year. And that was a £5,000 payment up front. And then you could claim some additional back called something called the RHI, Renewable Heat Incentive. So, yes, I had to invest money to buy the air source heat pump up front, but then I'm getting paid back quarterly. And it ends up costing me about the same as that oil boiler did 7 years ago. And when we look at the running costs, it'll be about the same, maybe less. There's been the whole issues about the energy shortages in the UK, and that's pushed gas and electric prices up, but it's pushed oil prices up even more. So I think, you know, with oil about 50 pence a litre, and I'm lucky that I'm still on a very good electric tariff, we will be saving on overall.
So initially you were approached by EDF or somebody like that to come in and basically put a bivalent system in. So that got you intrigued as to, okay, so what is a heat pump and how can I install one in my home? So where did you begin with your research and what did you start to look for? And like, what was the start of looking into this?
Oil boiler had failed seven, eight years ago. Not surprisingly, when the thing fails, you've got to get it sorted immediately. Again, there was nearly a DIVO RCE then, because it always fails in the middle of winter, doesn't it? And it these kinds of things, they never fail in summer. Yeah. And it took 2 weeks before the engineers could come out and replace it. So we were putting the coats and the hats on all the time. The research was very difficult, actually. If you're buying a fridge, freezer, or a car, or almost anything else, you can go to Car Magazine, you can check a review, and there's comparisons, and you know, a Bosch fridge freezer against a Miele one, against an Indesit one, whatever, and I couldn't find much about the benefits of one air source heat pump over another. And actually, doing searches via YouTube, that's why I came across you guys. Research is difficult. There isn't a lot of information out there, and except for your home or your car, the heating system is the single most expensive thing I think you invest in. It's the most complicated thing that is in your house, I would suggest, in terms of being correctly designed, correctly installed, and then correctly maintained. So to not be able to find much information about it, you end up relying on the plumbers and heating engineers and people coming around giving you quotes, and you then asking dumb questions. And I'm very good at asking dumb questions. You have to be talking to the engineer, the heat design engineer, not the salesperson, because he or she, it's like double glazing salespeople. They're just going through the numbers. They don't understand the you know, the fabric of the house and the detailed design that's got to go into your heating system to make sure it'll work successfully and properly.
So how did you actually accomplish to actually get the heat engineer to come out? Because we went through a similar process as you. We had probably 6 different installers come and actually quote us. 1 or 2 of them were actually the company owners, so they did have a level of knowledge when it came to systems like that. But typically you do get sales guys that come out. How were you able to convince them to actually bring out a heat engineer with them to put together a comprehensive quotation or proposal to actually deliver something for your property that would work?
So it's a really good question, Mars, because especially as we were sort of bumping into COVID and there was a lot more remote stuff. But actually, in a lot of cases, I was able to do Zoom calls a bit like this, but through my, you know, iPhone type calls. And I would walk the person around the home. I'd already thought about where the external part of the air source heat pump could go from a logic point of view. I could show them where the current oil boiler was, where the power comes into the house. I knew the fact that we had a 100-amp circuit coming into the house. I knew we had easy access into the loft space above the kitchen, so that where pipe work could flow. We currently had a hot water tank, and as part of the replacement, we replaced that with a new one from a company called Mixergy. I think I had two people physically walk around the house with masks on, so that's why I got quite good at walking around with with my iPhone.
But how many quotations did you end up getting in the end? How many different companies did you end up speaking to?
I probably spoke to 7 or 8 and got quotes for about 5, I think.
From the 7 or 8 companies that came to quote, from the 5 that actually ended up did quoting, how different were the solutions that they were recommending or trying to sell you, as in the kilowatts of the heat pump, etc.?
The power of the heat pumps were similar. It was actually the differences between the makes of heat pumps. So I had quotes for Nibe and Mitsubishi and Daikin twice, Samsung, and I can't remember whether there was a Panasonic one as well. They were all about 12, 15 kilowatts systems, so quite large machines. The company I ended up working with, EcoBubble, their owner and lead engineer, Martin, he recommended Daikin. He'd worked with Daikin before, and they got a relatively new product, what's called a high temperature air source heat pump. He designed the system to allow the air source heat pump to run on its own and then connect it in through a buffer tank, connect it into the existing radiators and hot water system. The conversation is that they like to run free, as it were, and the hydraulic separation allows it to do that.
So you ultimately got 6 or 7 companies to come and quote you. You eventually selected EcoBubble. Why did you opt for them?
It was building confidence in Martin as the owner and the technical lead, and also building confidence in Daikin over other air source heat pumps. The quote for Nibe was about $2,000 more, and everybody talked about Nibe. It's a Swedish company, I believe, and they said it's a better quality product. How does that make it better? Does it deliver a higher COP, or so that's a coefficient of performance, or seasonal coefficient of performance, or does it require less servicing, or what makes it? And I couldn't get any specifics about that. So why was I going to spend an extra $2,000 or $3,000 on a box that didn't necessarily deliver any benefit? Martin from EcoBubble, he'd worked in the industry for many years and had worked previously even with Mitsubishi, and felt that the support that Daikin gave was second to none. And that's borne out by the fact that you can take out an annual service contract with them and fix price it for 10 years. The price seemed reasonable for the solution that was going to be installed.
I wasn't aware that you put a high temperature air source heat pump in. So are you running your heat pump at a flow rate of around 45 degrees, or are you often tempted to maybe go above that to actually take the rads that are slightly smaller out of the equation?
I think we're probably running at 55 at the moment, which you can now, all the heating engineers and the air source heat pump experts go, no, shaking their heads and dismissing this video. It's part of the MCS calculations. There's a calculation that shows what your energy usage will be based on the heat demand and the heat loss. The prediction for us is about 7,500 kilowatt hours a year. Since it was installed in April, we should have used, based on that calculation, because it shows it by month as well, we should have used about 1,000 kilowatt hours. And so far we're at about 750. So we're under the predicted. Good. We're running it at the moment as if the system is a boiler. So we have a Nest heat control in the hallway. The heating comes on at 7 o'clock in the morning, but the Nest recognizes it's an air source heat pump rather than an oil boiler, rather than a gas boiler or whatever. You set that up, so therefore it starts the heating process earlier. So the aim is to run it as if it was a boiler for a year to see how we do, and then I might switch over and take the Nest out of the circuit, and we'll then use the heat compensation curve within the air source heat pump's intelligence.
So it certainly sounds like you mentioned before that your wife is an accountant, and you being in
I have to justify everything. No.
Yeah. So I think that you're quite a meticulous household when it comes to expenses. So tell us about the conversations that you've had with your wife with regards to what's happening in the energy crisis and electricity tariffs. At the moment, you're on a really good tariff with Octopus, but are you concerned that that might change next year? And, do you think that, that would affect your running costs overall with your heat pump?
I don't think we specifically talked about it. We're only paying, even the daytime rate is only about 14.5 pence.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, very lucky.
That is really good. the RHI is coming to an end in April 2022, and then they are going to be replacing it with the grant, the £5,000 grant for air source and £6,000 for ground source. Based on how much you spent as a homeowner, would that have incentivized you to invest as much as you did? And would you have still gone through with that financial commitment if you were doing it next year with no RHI?
I think we still would have done, because the oil price is continuing to rise. Air source heat pump costs will come down a little bit. Octopus have set up an academy to train people, and they've talked about getting air source heat pump prices down to £5,000, which would be fabulous. But I still think, you know, we've got to do our bit to try and reduce CO2 emissions, and I would still have invested. It would have been a longer term payback, but I still think there would have been an opportunity.
I assume that you're on single phase electricity and your consumer box is probably limited to 100 amps. So you've got the heat pump, a high temperature heat pump, and two electric vehicles. Hmm. How much is that enough on that? Because we've been advised that we might struggle to actually get an EV charging point added to our consumer box. We've also got a 100 amp limit. What's your take on that?
Western Power are our network provider. You have to apply for each of the changes. The property in the estate were 20 years old. We've got our own transformer, little transformer on the estate. So the circuits to each of the houses must be all quite modern and new. When we had we got a 7 kilowatt charging point for the EVs, and we've only got one. You know, we just switched between the two. For the air source heat pump, we had to, again, EcoBubble applied to Western Power, because it's not just about the power you're drawing. It's when the thing starts and stops, it can have an impact. Turns out to be really complicated engineering and physics problems associated with the electric supply. Who knew? We also have a electric hob, electric oven, a dishwasher, washing machine. We would probably struggle to add another 7 kilowatt charger. My next investment will be something called vehicle to grid. I can't justify it by a Tesla battery or a number of other companies supply batteries for homes. And I can't justify that on a payback basis, but I've got a 30 kilowatt battery in my Honda and a 73 kilowatt hour battery in my Hyundai. And that's sitting there for 90% of the time and not driving anywhere. And so I would then be able to use the battery from my electric vehicle to run the house and then charge the battery up overnight on cheap electricity, and that will drive my energy costs down.
So before we close up today, Julian, can you just tell us, I know that that everybody wants the power of hindsight. It's the one thing, the one magic superpower that I would love to have. So with that in mind and hindsight, what, if anything, would you have done differently, whether that's, you know, just process in maybe, you know, research or selecting a supplier, or actually the machine you chose, or how you would have had it fitted? Was there anything that you look back on and think, okay, that was a really interesting learning curve, and that's probably something I'd do a little bit differently next time?
I don't think I'd do anything necessarily different. I was really pleased with the work that EcoBubble did. It's still quite early days for the air source heat pump.
The temperatures are dropping, and obviously you are quite comfortable with the temperature of the house.
Yes, even my wife Jackie said, yeah, it's, we're doing all right at the moment. I think the sitting room's warmer. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Julian. I think it's been really interesting to hear the perspectives of another homeowner, especially from our side. During these interviews, it's kind of, we're speaking to all the experts, but it's really nice to speak to another homeowner that's actually had real life experience living with a heat pump
and a positive experience.
Yeah, and I look forward to your experience this winter, and we'd love to have you back, I think, in the spring to summer, so that you can tell us what your first winter was like with a heat pump, and hopefully everything ran smoothly and you had a lovely, warm, cozy Christmas.
No, thank you. I think it very much will be. I think you should be congratulated for the work that you've done initially on your home site and then creating the specific heat pump site to give idiots like me some further information and start a community that shares that information. It's really useful, and you should be congratulated. But thanks very much. You've been a great chat.
Oh, thank you so much, Julian. Thanks so much. And
cheers.
We'll see you in 2022 on the other side.
Yes, all the best. Bye.
Bye.